Welcome back to the Friar Talk podcast and YouTube channel. Today, we're going to be recapping the Phillies, talking about the All-Star game, and then talking about Chris Paddock a little bit after his, well, it was a no decision, but he pitched really, really well, so we'll get into him in a little bit later. But let's start out, let's just go back to the Sunday game. That's the positive game. And Isaac, I'll start with you, man. What was just your overall thoughts on this game and then the previous two games before that?
Yeah, well, the Padres raked in this series. They put up 11 runs, six coming in the ninth. Webster Rivas hit a home run. I always love to see the more unknown names get the bombs. It's pretty cool. Manny had five RBIs in that game. Fernando was hitting. Everyone had a base hit pretty much except for the people that came in to pinch hit, I believe. Even Eric Hosmer had two hits, surprisingly. So overall, very good offensive production. Jerickson Profar went 4-for-5. We were talking about it yesterday, how he really wasn't hitting for power. You know, the slugging percentage isn't gonna show. It's not gonna be a very impressive number. But overall, he's raising his batting average. He's starting to find the holes. He's starting to put up some really good at bats, and he's always been putting up some really good at bats. It was just a matter of starting to find the holes, starting to make good contact. Because he has a good on-base percentage, it's just the hits haven't been coming in. That has definitely been overshadowed by his really, really, really bad defense lately. But overall, good series for Jerickson too, but overall good series for this whole team. You know, I know we lost a couple games, but they were nail biters. They were off walk-off. One of them was off a walk-off, so can't really complain about it. You know, just hats off to the Phillies.
Yeah, and then you know what? I just want to bring this up because I found it hilarious. They intentionally walked Machado twice with two outs just so that he couldn't hit again. And then the third guy just walked him because he was wild. I thought that was kind of funny for the Sunday game. But yeah, everybody was hitting. It was unfortunate about the walk-offs. It happens. You just kind of have to slug them off and move on to the next game. And, you know, they moved on to an 11-1. So the pitching looked good for the most part. Snell actually had a really good outing on the road compared to past outings, so I guess we can take this as a step in the right direction. Paddock looked really good outside of, what, two pitches, two mistakes that ended up costing him, what was it, three runs? So, you know what, it was one of his better outings. It's a good way to come back after that Diamondback game because, boy, was that tough to watch. And you know what, he's showing that he's a legitimate three-pitch pitcher, and that's exactly what we're out of him right now.
Yeah, and you go to the Saturday and then the Friday game. Friday, Paddock looked amazing. He gave up three runs, but he pitched, it was seven innings, and he hadn't recorded an out up this point in the seventh inning. So that was a big deal for him. His curveball's really coming around. Did they call it a sword where when the guy checks swings and like tries to hold it back? That was an excellent curveball. So we've seen his curveball kind of get going. And I think it was AJ Casavell wrote an article about just how he's actually developed this third pitch and how he's not a two-pitch pitcher anymore. It's a big deal, and we're going to have a full segment on him later this week, but that is a huge win if he can be like that kind of guy for the Padres and start eating up a little bit of more innings too, just because right now he has, I think, the third most innings on the team. I'm pretty confident he has more than Blake Snell. Then going to the Saturday game, Darvish pitched probably one of Darvish's worst outings. It's hard to blame him, though, because he's leaving, coming back on. There's two rain delays. It was a little bit weird that they brought him out for the sixth inning, I thought, just because he was gone for so long. I get bringing him out for the fifth, just like, all right, finish your inning. You know, you had a guy 0-2 with two outs. But it was weird that they brought him out again, and it kind of came back to bite him a little bit. Though, I think the real story for those two games is still struggling to hit starters. You see a Machado bomb, and that was all the run support off the starters the first two games. And then yesterday, two Machado bombs, that's all the run support off the starters today. So Machado is really pretty much completely carrying the offense right now, and definitely had quite a few points. But looking around, like, Pham didn't have his best series. Funny that we just brought out like our apology Pham video. I expect him to bounce back, though. His approach at the plate is phenomenal. And we've seen that where some of these guys might start slumping a little bit, but like, for instance, like Jake Cronenworth, he was kind of slumping a little bit. And then you just see excellent at-bats, excellent approaches. And then on Sunday, he had a really good game. So some of these guys, it takes them a little while. They go into a little bit of slumps. Grisham is kind of in one of those right now. But hats off to Machado and Tatis for really carrying this offense when they don't quite have it. And I think it's going to start coming around a little bit more. I tweeted out a tweet about Hosmer, basically said, if Nando wants to win a World Series, he's going to have a restraining order on Hosmer, which was a joke. I think a couple people took it seriously. Obviously it's not going to happen. I thought it was funny. And then I ended up coming back on Sunday and saying, like, hey, that hit, hopefully it wakes up Hosmer. Because, I mean, we're all rooting for him. We're all rooting for all these guys to succeed. I know a lot of people are getting frustrated, especially with Hosmer and Myers and Mateo. Chase isn't standing for the Myers slander, but I know the fan base is frustrated. But I've also seen this stuff like, oh, these fake Padre fans getting upset. Being frustrated is different than not rooting for your team. Like, we're still rooting for Hosmer. When he comes to the plate, we're not like, you better strike out, Hosmer. I don't think there's anyone that's a Padres fan that's thinking that. People just want to see him succeed, and it's frustrating when he keeps rolling the ball over to second. So hopefully that's a sign for things to come. Isaac, you were bringing up how Profar is finding the holes. That's how Hosmer hits too. Like, he's not going to ever be a big slugging guy, but if he's hitting 280, 300, and he's finding the holes, that's a huge win. So hopefully he starts coming around. His numbers right now are way below his career average. So he's got to step it up, and I really hope he's able to, because if you have him hitting 6-7 and they do make a trade for an outfielder or whatever the case is, and you have him 6-7, he's actually able to start driving in some of these runs, that could be huge. So I really hope he steps up. But Isaac, anything else you want to add?
Yeah, you talk about Eric Hosmer. Yeah, all his numbers suck pretty bad right now, if we're being honest. There's no sugarcoating it. I think everyone listening to this podcast has a higher WAR than him right now, because he's in the negatives, I want to say, to be honest. It was like a negative 0.01 or negative 0.02 or 0.2 last time I checked. It's higher than that?
It's like negative 0.8 or negative 0.9.
Oh, yikes. I didn't expect it to be that bad. Wow, that is really bad. I don't know I don't really have much to say about that. That's just, we're paying the guy $144 million. We're not saying, like, you know, go up there and suck. We don't want to see repetitive ground balls to second base. Like, we want to see him driving some runs. Yesterday he had two hits, and that's why we're like, oh, maybe he'll start coming around. Because other than ever since he came off the COVID list with Fernando, it's like Fernando skyrocketed up, and he just went way down.
I just got one more thing to add about Hosmer. Darvish wouldn't have had as bad as an outing as he did if Eric Hosmer could catch a pop fly in foul territory. That's all.
And I know it was a weird play too, but Hosmer has definitely had his difficulties with the pop flies. I think that's why people got really frustrated. And that's when Padres Twitter went crazy on Hosmer. I thought it was more funny than everything. Some people got really upset about it, but I thought it was just like, I mean, it was more like joking around. So I thought it was pretty funny. But I mean, overall, this series doing good. I do really hope, and I think all of us, I know all of us want Hosmer to succeed, but it is frustrating when you're paying a guy that much money. And the thing I think that really frustrates people is the comments he's made in the past about, oh, I'm not going to change my approach. And he said something like, if I don't change my approach and the team isn't happy with it, then they'll probably change my playing time. And that's not exactly what he said, but that's basically what he was trying to put across. And I think that, I mean, even Ryan Cohen, who we had on as a guest, who's probably the most positive Padres fan that I've ever met in my life, he even is like, all right, enough's enough. Like, you got to make changes. And that was his point of that, what his issue with. And I think that should be everyone's issue right now. But I mean, like I said, if he's hitting 6-7, he's able to start driving in and hitting some gappers and doing stuff like that. That is such a big difference for this team. So hopefully he starts going. We've seen who Pham is. We've seen who Cronenworth, Machado, Tatis, we've seen that top five, those top five guys in the order. They're legit. So if they add a piece and they have six legit hitters at the top of the order, and these guys at the bottom, like Profar, Hosmer, Myers, those guys start coming around, that can make so much difference. So that's kind of where I'm at. Good outings from Paddock. Not the best outing from Darvish, but it's all right. Didn't really touch on Snell that much. I will say, didn't think they should have pulled him. He had only thrown 81 pitches in four innings. I know he wasn't looking that great, but the bullpen's taxed. We've talked about it. We want these guys to go longer. And that was one of his better road outings in quite some time. So hopefully that's a sign for things to come. But I think that's going to do it for this segment. So we're going to be talking about the Padres All-Stars. So Mark Melancon, Yu Darvish, Fernando Tatis, and Jake Cronenworth were inducted into the All-Star game. I'm super hyped. Jake the Rake, we were advocating for him to make it. I was a little bit surprised that Melancon made it. definitely happy that he did. I mean, he has been a really, really pivotal part of that bullpen early on. And yes, he's had his struggles recently, but he's a big reason the Padres were able to win a lot of games because he came in so many one-run situations. So props to all these guys. But Chase, I'll let you start, man. What was just your overall thoughts on these four guys making the All-Star team?
Well, we know for sure two of them are going to make it. Tatis absolutely deserved it. And then we all know Darvish has been one of the best pitchers in the league, especially the National League. So we were kind of expecting him to make it. Cronenworth for me was like a swing and miss. He deserved to make it, but I didn't know if the system was going to reward him for actually being one of the better players in the league. And you know what? It ended up did. So I'm really happy about that. Melanson, you know what? I'm kind of surprised by considering his performances as of late, but you know what? Happy another Padre made it. It's just another team to represent San Diego. Another player to represent San Diego.
Yeah, I think it was a given that Fernando was going to make it. He's having an absolutely fantastic year right now. He's batting 305, 389 on base percentage with a 184. I don't even know how to 1,084 OPS. I don't really know how to say it, to be honest, but he's going crazy right now. Just having an amazing year. Jake Cronenworth absolutely deserved it. I still think he got some. He should be the starting second baseman. He's having a really good year. You know, that's not – who's the starting second baseman, Frazier? I think so, right? He's having a good year. It's just, you know, Jake has more – Jake's better in, I think, almost every category except batting average, I want to say. So, you know, he's having a really good year. I wish the Padres had the starting middle infield. That would have been really cool to see. But overall, the Padres are the most represented team in the NL right now. Yu Darvish absolutely deserved it. Yu Darvish has been an absolutely amazing acquisition for us so far this year. I'm not exactly sure what his ERA is. It's in the twos for sure. I know that because yeah, I know it rose after the day he pitched.
I want to say it's 2.64 or 2.66.
Yeah, I think last time I checked, it was like 2.22, 2.23, something around there. And then obviously after the Phillies outing, it definitely rose. So he's still having a really good year, though. Not, you know, that Phillies outing is an outlier compared to what he's done all year. And then Mark Melanson, I don't know if he's still the saves leader, but for a really long time, he was a saves leader. And he was a very pivotal part of our bullpen, very reliable out of the bullpen so far this year. I know he's had some tough outings lately. Coincidentally, it's after the sticky stuff went away. But also, you got to remember he's pretty fatigued. He's pitched in a lot of ball games, and you know you could say the same about Tim Hill and some of the other guys in the bullpen. But Mark Melanson has had to come in back to back days in some pretty big situations, and he's been able to pull through. So you know it's great to see all these guys in the All-Star game. This is Fernando's first one. This is Jake's first one. It's cool that the middle infield kind of gets to share that together, and then Yu Darvish and Mark Melanson are veterans to the Midsummer Classic.
It'll be really cool to see Fernando get some early at bats, and I mean we know that the cameras are going to be all over him. Probably him, Vladdy, and Otani. I mean those are the three faces of baseball right now. It's super cool to see. He was very obviously going to make it, but you talked about Melanson. I know I saw some people talking about Jansen and some other bullpen pieces that could have made it over him. I will bring up one thing that I think is, it's kind of weird because if you just look at it from like raw numbers, like, yeah, sure, there's some guys that are doing better, but Melanson has meant so much to this team. And yes, he's way up there in saves. I think he's second now. That I could be wrong on that. But you look and you brought up the sticky stuff, Isaac. Also, how many innings he's pitched. Like, there's a couple reasons why he could have potentially, like, you know, his ERAs rose a little bit lately. But It's kind of tough to start bringing that up because it's not his fault that the MLB said, oh, you can't use any more substances, and that he relies on that for his game, and not even the spider tack and stuff like that, but just rosin and like basic things that have been used for so long. So there's absolutely going to be an adjustment period for him. So when we're talking about like, oh, he might, you know, fall off a little bit, it might just be kind of a slump to make some adjustments. So if you're talking about the All-Star game of who has meant so much to some of these teams and who have been the best performers, up until like 2 weeks ago, Melanson would have been no questions asked an All-Star. So I think that's kind of the case for him. I do understand if some people are like, oh, you know, this guy should have made it, this guy should have made it, but that's always in the All-Star game. So that's kind of where I'm at on there. But anything else about these guys? I mean, I'm super stoked, like you said, Chase, most in the NL, so awesome stuff. But anything else you wanted to add?
Yeah, I just want to add, like, I'm kind of glad Tatis isn't doing the home run derby this year, but my goodness, when he gets fully healthy – watching him and I guess all the juniors, Vladimir, Ronald Acuna, and maybe even Ohtani, if all of them compete in a home run derby, that would be amazing to watch, because just watching the youth kind of just take over baseball is something incredible to see.
Yeah, next year he should be 100%. Hopefully he gets the surgery in the offseason. But remember, the next year's All-Star Games in L.A. So Dodger fans, make sure you show up when he's in the home run derby and you're booing him when you watch him win. That's going to be a really cool thing to see. But very excited to see this All-Star Game. Very excited to see Tatis, Acuna, Ohtani, and Vladdy kind of start taking over the game. You know, this is their game now. It's the young kids' game. It's going to be really cool to see. But very exciting for the Padres, especially, you know, haven't really had this many All-Stars in a I don't think ever. So very cool to see the Padres the most represented team in the NL. You know, just shows how talented this team is, how far we've come from being a rebuilding team to now being one of the best teams in the league, with these guys leading the way.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that's the perfect way to end this segment. So really happy for these guys, and congrats to all of them as well. Okay, so then moving on from the Padres who did make it, we got to bring up a guy who didn't make it, and a lot of Padres fans are very frustrated about this, Manny Machado. Isaac, was he snubbed from the All-Star game?
Yeah, he was definitely snubbed. There's a couple people in there that shouldn't have made it over him. Eduardo Escobar definitely should have made it. I understand he's probably he is the Diamondbacks' only representative at that game. But when I see a guy like Mookie Betts make it, and I see his numbers, and I think, how is this guy an all-star? If Mookie Betts is an all-star, our whole outfield, excluding Will Myers, is an all-star then. Sorry, Chase. But it's ridiculous. I can't believe Mookie's an all-star. I guess, you know, he is that kind of name. He's one of the biggest names in baseball. I guess you can call him a perennial all-star no matter how he hits. But if we're going just based off stats, he didn't really deserve it. Meanwhile, Manny's been on an absolute tear lately. I understand he wasn't hot to start the season. He was definitely struggling. That's a typical Manny Machado season. But now he's starting to tear the cover off the ball. We saw Saturday, he hit a dead center home run, and it wasn't even like no arch. It was just a line drive. And I thought, oh my God, I don't know if I've seen maybe except for from Fernando. I don't know if I've ever seen a ball hit that hard ever, because that was just, he destroyed that ball. And he's starting to do that consistently on a lot of at bats. You saw Joe Girardi intentionally walked him twice because he didn't want to face him. That's where it's getting to with Manny right now. That's how hot he is. He's starting to raise his batting average, and he has as many RBIs as Fernando, and I saw another really cool stat that he hasn't struck out with runners in scoring position yet. So he's constantly putting the ball in play, even if he's getting out or popping up, he's still putting the ball in play, which is really good to see. And that's how he's gotten as many RBIs as Fernando. But overall, you know, and let's not forget about that Gold Glove defense. He absolutely deserves the Gold Glove this year. He is putting on a show out there with his glove, and he's saved so many runs. I don't know how many defensive runs saved he has, but I'd assume it's among the top in the league. And so that's why, you know, he was snubbed from the All-Star game. He absolutely deserves it. And hopefully we see him in there in the future.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And considering how much of a tear he's been on and how many games he's probably just saved with his defense alone, I know, like, every now and again, like, he'll come up in, like, the bottom of the ninth or top of the ninth, and he'll just, like, push one through the right side to score a run to tie the game, but that's not the only thing he does. He's probably saved, like, three games in the past 2 weeks with just his defense alone. He was one of the reasons, or he was the main reason Melanson got a couple of his saves a week ago. He turned some key double plays in the bottom of the ninth and just saved the game for the team, and his bat's getting hot. You know, we probably are going to look at the end of the season and be like, why wasn't Manny Machado an all-star? And if he doesn't win this Gold Glove, I think Padre fans are going to riot just because of how good of a fielder he's been and continues to be. So, you know, just watching him and Tatis, it could have been great having Machado, Tatis, and Cronenworth. It would have been great if we could have the whole infield, but we know we kind of have a little hole at first base to deal with first. But you know what? We'll get to that eventually. But you know what? Yeah, we should have three Padres infielders stung in. I'll stick by that.
Well, you brought up Mookie Isaac, and then Chase, you talked about third base, talked about fielding. So I'll bring up both Mookie and Arenado. Superstars. I don't think anyone is arguing that. Mookie is a phenomenal player. He's been playing hurt, and his numbers do not represent like who he is right now. That doesn't mean like he's not an all-star caliber player, but right now, based on some of the other guys in the league, his numbers don't represent that. So that's kind of the issue there. Also add, every all-star game, there's going to be weird stuff where guys get snubbed. I think for Manny, the way that we've seen how Manny takes a lot of criticism, he uses it as fuel. So if anything, I think this is going to spark some energy to Manny. I think it's going to get him going even more than he has been. And just looking at his numbers right now, 264, 15 bombs, 57 RBIs. That is third in the NL. 9 stolen bases from, you know, the guy that doesn't hustle apparently, and 828 OPS. And if you're going to bring up, oh, well, you know, Mookie's numbers are down because of shoulder injury. So Manny Machado has a shoulder injury too. That's why there was a clip of him talking about it. Like, oh, I don't have any pop right now. He couldn't use his opposite field and dead center power. It's back. It's clearly back. We saw that in the Philly series where he hit those two balls that were just absolutely scorched to dead center. Also, I don't know if you saw, they're like 5 feet apart from each other. I thought that was hilarious. But he has been on one. That's crazy that he has not struck out with runners in scoring position. And it makes sense. That's why he's third in the league in RBIs. So he's not even like at his full peak. And I think if anything, like he's going to look so snubbed at the end of the year. Cause you talked about it. He doesn't get going right away. And sometimes it takes him a little while. Well, he's on one right now. He is on fire right now. So, I mean, I'm going to the game tonight. We're recording this on Monday. So I am pumped. I bet we're going to see I'm going to see some Manny bombs this week. I'm going to a couple of them. So, I mean, this is like the best time to go to a game right now when Manny's hot. Cause when he's hot, he is one of the most ridiculous players you can watch. You brought up the fielding with Arenado. Arenado, yes, 4-time platinum gold glove winner, 8-time gold glove winner. Right now, Manny Machado should be the leader in that third base gold glove discussion. Not to knock Arenado. He is still an amazing fielder. But Manny Machado has been absolutely spectacular this year. So if you're going to start talking about like a complete player, Manny has been that. It has absolutely been that. Both sides, defense and offensively, he has been one of the Padres' most valuable piece. Defensively, absolutely. And then offensively, behind Tatis, he is the next best dude right now. I will say one other thing. His best game of the year, his like two best games of, or probably his best game of the year in terms of hitting, was yesterday. And I don't know if the All-Star votes, you know, if that came in the day before. It definitely could have. So you don't know if that game would have factored it, because his numbers look a lot better than they did the day before. Anytime you go 2-for-2 with two bombs and basically 3 intentionally walks, it's going to help your stats a lot. But I think Manny should have been an All-Star. And we brought up Eduardo Escobar. Yeah, he has to make it, but I think that's just a problem with the rules. Like, guys should make it because they've earned the All-Star nod, not because their team doesn't have enough players to make an All-Star team. Should the Diamondbacks be represented in the All-Star game? Probably not. They're 6-44 in their last 50 games. So why do they have an All-Star? Like, and no offense to Eduardo Escobar. Like, he's had a good year, but he's not an All-Star right now. Like, that's just, I don't know. That's where I'm at. But anything else you guys want to add real quick?
We would not be having this conversation whether or not the Diamondbacks deserved an All-Star or not if Ketel Marte wasn't hurt. Because we all know Ketel Marte would be an All-Star on any team. It's just the Diamondbacks are that bad of a team that he's probably like, yeah, my shoulder's still probably hurting a little bit. You know, maybe if you trade me away, I can play. But who knows? I'd not be having this conversation if Marte wasn't hurt.
Yeah, it's going to be cool having that conversation of Ketel Marte as an All-Star next year when he's on our team. No, just kidding. I wish. I really like Ketel Marte. But, you know, just much more credit to Manny right here for, you know, if he didn't have such a bad rap around the league, if he was like Fernando and a bunch of people liked him, because let's be real, a bunch of people hate Manny. I mean, we'd assume he's one of the most biggest villains in the sport right now.
I got to interrupt you real quick. Look at how Philly treated him.
Exactly. They booed him for no reason, for absolutely no reason, because he argued balls and strikes with a blue. So he is one of the most hated players in the sports in the sport right now. If he wasn't one of the most hated players in the sport right now, he would be an All-Star. I could positively say that. And the stats are there. The glove is absolutely there. It's just no one except for Padres fans really likes him. And And he's one of the best leaders I've ever seen, to be honest. You know, people talk about Eric Cosmer's leadership qualities. I just don't see it out of Eric Cosmer. I see it out of Manny. And he is the I know Fernando is probably our best player, but Manny is our absolute leader. You know, in clutch situations, he's always coming up clutch. Like I said, he hasn't struck out running to scoring position yet. So just all the qualities Manny has brought to this clubhouse, the field, you know, it's been worth every single penny we spent on him. He is absolutely one of the best players in this league, one of the premier players in this league. I think he's showing he is the best third baseman, in my opinion. I know Nolan Arenado still got that glove, but all in all, I do think Manny is the best third baseman in the league. And I know Mookie may be playing through this injury, but we have a guy at shortstop who's literally playing through a much more significant shoulder injury than Mookie is. And he's batting 305 with almost 30 bombs. Mookie's batting like 250 something with like 10, 11, maybe 12 bombs. So talk about overpaid when you guys are talking, when Dodger fans are bringing that up earlier, right? But you know, Manny absolutely deserves this and he was snubbed for sure.
I love it, Isaac. I think that's perfect.
One more thing. It seems like there's a consensus three villains in baseball in the league. Manfred, umpires, and what fans say about Manny Machado, because my God, do they hate that man.
No, it's definitely true. It is 100% true. So I think that'll do it, though. Manny should have been an all-star. We'll look up, and he'll be top three in MVP voting at the end of the year, so it'll be all good. But I think it'll just spark him and get him going even more. Fully healthy now. We could see that with those bombs to dead center. So looking forward for Manny to go on a tear now. But should have been an all-star. It's all right. I'm sure he's not upset about it. But all right. And then for our last segment, we're going to be talking about Chris Paddock. And we are talking about this after his Philly start. So before his national start, I think that's when he's starting next. And just want to talk about his huge improvements. Now, he had the Diamondbacks game where he looked really bad. But outside of that, since he's came back off the IL, his curveball looks better. His location looks better. His fastball location specifically looks a lot better. And I've seen some people talking about the Padres potentially moving on from him, stuff like that. I don't think that's a good move at all right now. You start talking about what this team needs. They need more starters. So if you're talking about trading him with prospects to, you know, upgrade at starter, then you still need another starter. So I think he's done a great job. And I think right now, like looking into like the foreseeable future and at least this season, he's a 4 or 5 guy for this team, maybe for a long time. Chase, but what are your thoughts on his improvements this season?
Dude, they're incredible. We were all ready to write off Paddock at the beginning of the season and after last season, his little comments before, you know, how could I not start the playoff game? And you're just like, I don't know, buddy. You've been pitching 3 inning outs and kind of been getting rocked the entire time. And then after the playoff start where he didn't last more than 2 innings and you're just like off with his head. Every Padres fan after that start was like, yeah, we're done with Paddock. And then didn't see an adjustment at the beginning of the season. And everybody was then again, ready to throw Chris Paddock away. Goes to IL, comes back, and he's been incredible since then. His curveball looks better. His location's better. His fastball is finally living up with that 96, probably sitting around 96. His changeup is back to his, you know, classic Paddock changeup, which is devastating. And you see that he's made these adjustments and that he's become such a better pitcher. From that point on, when he came off the IL, he's probably pitched the second most innings as a Padres starter. If not, it might be really close with Musgrove because he's just been able to go deeper into outings than every other guy because he's more effective with his pitches. He may not get the strikeouts that he used to get, but he's being more effective with his pitches and he just gets outs and gets out of innings quickly, which the Padres need. We need an innings eater, so getting rid of Paddock doesn't make any sense. If anything, you want to add another guy like Paddock so that the bullpen doesn't, you know, have 3 guys with, you know, amputated arms because their arms just fell off. So, yeah, with the way Paddock's been pitching, you can't get rid of him. You got to keep him, and you got to keep him for the long run because if he can continue going 6-7 innings with a lowish pitch count and just maybe 2 or 3 earned runs, that's the perfect 4-starter. That's a perfect innings eater, which the league doesn't have a lot of right now.
Yeah, Chase, I think you kind of nailed it right there. Chris Paddock, after that playoff outing, I certainly felt down because I am a Paddock supporter for sure. I really like Chris Paddock. Even when I wanted to give up on him, I was adamant, like, don't give up. Like, he's going to be all right. Hopefully he figures things out. And now that he has that third pitch, it's starting to really show that he could be a good pitcher in this league. I don't think he could be great. I don't think he can be an ace. But, you know, he's definitely showing he has the stuff to be a solid 2-3-4 starter. And that's, as a fourth starter for us, he's doing an amazing job eating up a lot of innings, pitching to contact. And pitching to contact isn't always going to work in this league. We saw pitching to contact kind of just didn't really help him in that Diamondbacks game. But these are major league hitters, you know, and not to mention everyone's going to have bad outings. Yu Darvish just had a bad outing. And Yu Darvish is the kind of guy where he comes on the mound and we're like, oh, let's go. We're going to get a win. Everyone has bad outings. Chris Paddock had that bad outing. He's probably had a couple this year, but comes back, really has a really, really good bounce back game against the Phillies. Goes 7 strong innings. I don't know how high his pitch count was. I don't think it was that high, to be honest. But really had a really good outing. He's made some major improvements throughout the year. He's not going to strike a bunch of people. Actually, bringing up strikeouts, he has had a couple high strikeout games, but we know that's not always going to happen. That's Yu Darvish's job. But Chris Paddock, he's pitching beautiful contact right now. They're throwing some really good pitches, locating his fastball really well, locating all his pitches really well. And he's starting to throw that breaking ball with more confidence. Really good to see out of him.
Yeah, Isaac, I feel like you're the guy that's really wanted to hold on and say, hey, no. And we talked about reevaluating kind of our expectations for him. Hey, he might not be that ace guy that we all thought he could. I actually went to his debut. That was awesome. I was so pumped. I'm like, oh, this dude's a 1 or a 2, like so hyped. Maybe he's not that. But he's a former top 10 prospect. And in my opinion, if you have a guy that's like a really high prospect like that, and they become a very serviceable MLB starting pitcher, that's a win. Because there are so many guys that end up being top prospects that completely flame out. And you also brought up kind of the strikeout thing. Against the Reds, he pitched 5 innings, 11 Ks. So that's a really good sign. He had the bad outing against the Diamondbacks. Then he came back. Against the Phillies, he had 5 strikeouts over those 7 innings. Maybe not the greatest strikeout numbers, but his whip's going down. It's down to 1-2-3. That's pretty good. His ERA is a 4-5-6. Not the best thing in the world, but when you look at some of like how he had a couple outings, especially early on, I mean, pretty much early on and then the Diamondbacks stuff, if you took out that Diamondbacks game and you took out before the IL, I got to assume that he's like mid-3s, low-3s ERA kind of guy because he's been really good. And outside of just getting rocked a couple times, he's been a really consistent player, like since he's been back, of course, because before that in 2020, like it was real way up and down. But if he can consistently locate, and that's going to be the big thing, because that's a really hard thing to ask. But if he can consistently locate his fastball and his changeup and not hang his curveball, that can be a huge thing. And I want to bring up one thing. AJ Casfell wrote an article about how he's developed this curveball. And basically, he credited Musgrove and Darvish for really teaching him about it. And I don't know if you guys read about Darvish, but they basically said that Darvish will walk around and just talk about pitching. That's all he does. He just walks around, talks about pitching, talks about using these different pitches. And the guy that has really fed off of Darvish is Chris Paddock. And they show each other stuff. And, I mean, they don't speak the same language. But, Darvish speaks a little bit of English, not great. But they're still able to, he's still able to mentor him. And the same thing goes for Joe Musgrove. So I think one of the takeaways from Paddock's, improvements are, one, we want Darvish around here for a long time. He means a huge difference. You guys talk about bringing Gore up. You want to bring up Gore. Darvish is a guy to mentor him and, help him get through some of these tough spots. And other guy, Musgrove, he needs to be extended as well. So that's where I'm at. I think props for Chris Paddock for really balling out. But Chase, you had one more thing to say?
Oh, no, I was just agreeing with you there. Like, I honestly think Gore needs like a whole new change of scenery, and having, these guys that can spin pitches really well and locate, I think that's just probably next best step in his development. And yeah, El Paso's not treating him right. So maybe the majors might, and let him learn at the top of the level. And have these guys that perform at the highest level and succeed to a very large extent, like Darvish, you got to let him teach him things before, time's up.
Yeah, and there are a lot of people that are hard on Chris Paddock. I think, I mean, my dad, for example, looked at that outing against Philly and he thought three runs. That's not a very good outing. I'm like, dude, he gave up two in the first and then ended up shutting him down except for one bomb throughout the rest of the game. He went seven solid innings. That was a really solid outing. Like, it's not really his fault. He didn't get any offensive production, any offensive support. And obviously, outside of the Diamondbacks game, he's kind of resurrected his 2021 season. So hopefully, he keeps us up.
Final thing I'll add: you look at that the Phillies game, and yeah, he allowed three runs in the first inning. It was what, a pass ball that advanced guys to second and third, and then they both got driven in on ground balls. One of them might have been a sac fly, but neither of those guys got driven in on hits. And then he makes one mistake later in the game. I think you talk about guys like earning a win. Like we were talking about a little bit about how Blake Snell only pitched four innings and I'd rather see him go out there for the fifth. Chris Paddock earned the no decision in that game. Like he pitched well enough where he should not be credited with the loss. And they ended up coming back and he didn't have a decision that game. But I mean, if that's an outing, if Chris Paddock could go out there, pitch seven innings and allow three runs every single time, I think we'd all very, very gladly take that. I mean, we would be ecstatic. And especially because he's going seven innings. He's a guy that can go a lot longer than some of the other dudes. There's some guys on the Padres, the Nelson Lamet, Ryan Weathers, they have nasty stuff, right? They can't go as long. That's something that Chris Paddock possesses that I think gets overlooked a lot. And we've talked about how taxed the bullpen has been. So if Chris Paddock can continue to be what he's been since the IL outside of the Diamondbacks start, and he can keep locating and that curveball can keep getting better, he can get back to that really, really good changeup of his, you know, locate his fastball, all that. I mean, I've seen him in 97, 98 on his fastball. If he's doing that, he's going to be really tough to hit. The strikeout numbers are going up. I mean, I don't know. I just feel like everything's trending upward for Chris Paddock right now. So I've been really impressed with the improvements. I was a guy, Isaac, I brought up to you, like, you're a guy that has been, like, standing behind him. I was really frustrated with him after that All-Star or that playoff game. I was like, dude, you can't come out there saying all this stuff. He's completely changed his mentality, and he deserves the utmost, like, credit for all the stuff that he's been able to do. So that's where I'm at on Chris Paddock, and I think that's going to do it for today's episode, but thanks everyone for listening, and hopefully the Padres keep beating up on some of these teams, and hopefully they have a good series against the Nationals and the Rockies to end this homestand.